Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God told me to tell you this.
That's paganism.
Do you really expect and anticipate that the divine voice of God can be heard by you?
That's horoscope reading.
Standing in the office of the prophet of God.
That's reading tea leaves.
You can't have a relationship to God if you can't hear God.
That is not biblical Christianity.
You want to hear God speak to you? Read your Bible. If you want to hear God speak to you audibly, read it out loud. I promise you, 100% guaranteed, you will hear Him speak.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio bringing you... Is Entertainment Tonight still on the air?
We
should probably check into that a little bit. Yeah. Bringing you the latest in celebrity infotainment news and such that hopefully is of interest to Christians. And I think this one is. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, see if Entertainment Tonight is still on.
I think it is.
There were a number of those shows.
Yeah,
and then what was Inside Edition? That was kind of another one. Are they the ones who stalked on Ken Copeland for the creepiest video of all time on the YouTube machine? I think that was Inside Edition.
Entertainment Tonight's been going since 81.
Wow.
Inside Edition's been going since 88.
And do you know who the happiest person is about that statistic, that Entertainment Tonight has been going on since 81?
No.
John Tesh.
Oh, yeah.
He wrote the theme song.
John Tesh.
He just sits at home and lets the money come flowing in. Well, I say good on him for that. Let's get to our Russell Brand. As always, whenever we see a celebrity profess faith in Jesus Christ, want to exercise caution because, well, we've been burned too many times. And frankly, even if we hadn't been, I think our Bible informs us, let's be careful before we perhaps prop somebody up as being a representative. Now, that, of course, does not mean that if somebody makes a profession of faith that they do not have access and membership to a local church. But I think that there is a little nugget hidden in Paul's descriptors of what makes for a qualified elder. Not being a new believer, why is that? Well, he cites so that that individual doesn't become puffed up. I think there could be some other wisdom. Time is a good thing for people to experience and Christianity and all that it means and reveal whether or not we're dealing with a true or false convert. By the way, speaking of time, yes, this is the way my brain synapses. Was just doing a little studying last week, I guess, for Sunday's sermon about the early church and how they dealt with people who denied Jesus Christ. There was persecution like a nobody's business. After the first century, it was rocking. It was already a very bad time to be a believer in Jesus Christ. Second century, ditto. Third century, it was ebbing and flowing. Sometimes there wasn't. It depended on the ruler. But they were feeling it in the third century. And there were a number of councils that were held to answer the question, what do we do with the individual who denied Christ under threat of being executed, but now they want back in? What do we do with those people? Initially, you need to understand that it was very rigid. The initial response was, you denied Christ, you are out. Well, some time went by, more conversations happened, and some genuine people who were frightened. They made a bad decision. They denied Jesus Christ. And they were set free. Now they wanted to get back into the church, and they started to see, wow, these people are actually genuine. But what did they do to make sure that this individual wasn't welcomed in and then humiliated again because they deny Jesus again? They said time, like 5 years time. They called it acts of penance. I would say it was more, I think a better descriptor would be acts of repentance. They wouldn't let them participate in the Lord's table, but they would let them be involved in the church, not teaching or preaching, not certainly being a deacon or an elder, but they would be in full membership except for the Lord's table part because they wanted to protect the table too. Time. Sometimes it is wise to just give things time. And that's what we should do with these Christian celebrities. Just give it time. It'll reveal much. We've had too much egg on our face. And frankly, I think we just aren't being biblically wise. Furthermore, I think sometimes it reveals a bit of desperation that somehow we need a celebrity to become a Christian in order to authenticate what it is that we profess. We don't need that. Russell Brand, he announced, I think he'd been talking about it on his podcast for quite an amount of time, that he was moving toward Jesus Christ. He then announced that he was going to get baptized. Well, that was 30 days ago. And now he did a video, and I got to tell you something. It's better than I think we could have expected or hoped. There's tons of people speaking into this fellow's ears. There's tons of Christians who would rush in to try to tell him what to think and do and believe. I got to tell you, so far, really encouraging.
I've been a Christian a month now, and it's been a big change. Not that I've entirely changed as a person, of course I haven't, but I've taken on a lot of new concepts, and it changes you to accept that it's not like you're in a game show, and by doing really, really good things, you can get redeemed. No, repentance, to repent, means that you have to continually change and acknowledge that I am in a battle against myself, that I need to surrender myself to an ever-present, internal, and accessible Jesus, that mercy is something that's given to me, been granted to me, that I live with through love, not something that I can sort of win or achieve by.
Oh, I can't cut the guy off. The man doesn't take a breath. I totally biffed them. Okay.
Doing good deeds.
There. Got him. Got him. Hey, that's what you get for breathing, Russell. Ha. Okay. Could some of that, of course, have been a little bit more orderly? Yeah, but at least he's seems to be quite spot on with the concept of ongoing repentance. Remember, and I've seen a lot of people get confused by this, that they hear that they need to repent to become a Christian and keep on repenting, and then therefore they conclude that your repentance keeps you a Christian. Your repentance doesn't keep you a Christian. Jesus keeps you a Christian. But the ongoing life of the believer is a life of repentance. Russell Brand seems to have a handle on that.
It's brought incredible people to me, incredible literature to me. It's brought a sense of peace. And when I'm in doubt, I feel that instruction is there, accessible. I feel like I know what I'm supposed to do. And when I don't do what I'm supposed to do, that's even clearer. When I feel myself being selfish or inconsiderate, wow. Or wow. Putting myself first. Or
that is really encouraging. He's starting to recognize sins that the world tends to overlook. In fact, we've turned the sin of selfishness into the premier attribute of being a human being, that you got to do everything for you. By the way, Jimmy, finally, this gives me an opportunity. This is a song from the 1960s. This whole idea of worship of self, doing whatever you want to do, it started in the Romantic era. It made its way through postmodernism, and today we see it as full-blown. Individualism is, well, that's the top of the mountain, doing everything my way. Well, Frank Sinatra wasn't the only member of the Rat Pack to have that rotten theology. It's Sammy Davis Jr., man.
Whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong, whether I find a place in this world or never belong, I gotta be me.
Yeah, baby. Whether I'm right or wrong, too bad for you.
What else can I be but
what else can I be but what I am? Well, conformed into the image of Jesus Christ and obeying his laws, Russell Brand seems to have better theology than Sammy Davis Jr. Although, did he die as a practicing Jewish man? I can't remember. He was into some wonky stuff. Russell Brand seems to be rejecting the praise of autonomy.
Not thinking about how I can be better to other people. It's as if there is an inner illumination available to me now. I love the simplicity of the idea of God come to earth as a man to experience what it is to be human and to sacrifice himself, because that's the only sacrifice that could bring us home, that could give us the opportunity for redemption.
It could, again, your ears might hear that and go, well, he should be talking about the law and the gospel of sin. And all. True, he's 30 days in. I say we should be encouraged.
I like the idea when I'm in prayer and in communion, just alone, that there is a figure available, wounded and coronated, available to me. In my failings and my failures and in my fallibility, there is strength to be broken, not just broken by life in the sense of life is wearying and exhausting, but to be broken in the same way that you have to train an animal to behave itself, to be broken into better conduct. It's a beautiful journey to go on. I know I'm just at the beginning. I know I'm just learning. I know there's so much more to learn, and I'm so excited to learn more from you and for us to learn together. Let me know where your journey is taking you. Can you remember your first month as a Christian? And let me know if, since I've been talking about this publicly, it's made you think about Christianity differently. We're having lots of conversations about this stuff, and I'm so grateful to be having them with you. Stay free.
So grateful that he's got a boldness. I trust he understands the cost. I'm sure he had to weigh it to a degree, because these days being a Christian doesn't usually bring along more subscribers and usually drives people away. What do we do with a celebrity like Russell Brand? Practice wisdom. But at this moment, I say, cool. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Meet Dr. Adam Tyson, an adjunct professor at the Masters University. Dr. Tyson brings expertise in biblical counseling and pastoral ministry, and his passion for teaching and mentoring the next generation is evident in his work with Gen Z men. Visit wretched.org/fellows for more information and see how you can make a difference, and together we can transform lives with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. Preborn.org/wretched.
Are you tired of Jesus being covered up by our post-truth world? Well, get ready, because it's time for you to pick up your copy of Jesus Unmasked by Todd Friel. Todd unpacks how the entire Bible, both Old and New Testaments, point to one man, Jesus himself. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll be convicted, but most importantly, you'll encounter the unfiltered Jesus Christ. Grab your copy of Jesus Unmasked right now at wretched.org.
Gotta tell you, the Masters Academy International, it's a privilege to be working with these people. They're very thoughtful. They're very methodical. Teaching men how to preach the Word of God rightly. Then they send them back to their churches where they open up the Bible, perhaps for the first time, at least to that depth. If you want to support a ministry that strengthens the local church, hey, you'd be hard-pressed to do better than TMAI. You can learn more about that, if and you want to, at wretched.org/pastor.
Attention all Christians who refuse to be silenced. Picture this. Later this year, 8 brilliant minds will be coming on board and joining forces with us here at Gospel Partners Media, and we're creating a Christian version of the Daily Wire. But we need your help to make this vision a reality. If you'll join our $250,000 match campaign right now, you can be part of this exciting new chapter. Just visit wretched.org/fellows right now to learn more about the initiative and each of the 8 brilliant minds that will be joining us.
You're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry. Oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in They assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Know your church fathers. Gregory of Nyssa was an opponent of Arianism at the Council of Constantinople in 381. He wrote a book called Not Three Gods, explaining that there is one God in three persons. Each member of the Trinity is fully God with all the divine attributes, yet each member of the Trinity is a distinct person. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's story time. And it's a heartbreaker. This is Wretched Radio. Rightly so, we focus on babies when it comes to the subject of abortion. Yes, it is correct to focus on mommies, but all too often we forget about the dads that are often involved. Now, unfortunately, many of those dads are rascals. They're not willing to take responsibility. They even go so far as to encourage a woman to terminate the baby that he had made with that woman. Doesn't get much lower than that, but there are men who didn't want their wives, who didn't want their girlfriends to have an abortion. You're about to meet one such man. His name is Thomas. That's all we've got. He drove 3 hours to go to a Students for Life speech that was given, it appears to be a university campus. And he grabbed the microphone to share his story. And I think it's a story that is not only heartbreaking, but too seldom told.
My daughter's name is Clementine. She was 5 months along when she was aborted in New Jersey. My daughter was healthy. I begged her mother not to go through with the abortion. For 5 months, we went back and forth. Ooh. I don't hate my ex. I love her. And I'm working on forgiving her.
That's an interesting comment, isn't it? Because she decided death. He wanted life. Oof. How can you forgive somebody who has wounded you so deeply? There is only one well into which you can dip. There is only one way that you can possibly get to the point where you not just forgive, but you even love those who hurt you, wound you, persecute you, sin against you. And that is recognizing that the sins that I have committed against God are so much more monumental than any sin anybody has ever committed against me. Then and only then, as I do sin math, could I possibly come to the point where I can say it's actually easy to forgive. I hope this fellow finds his way there.
She was confused. She was uncertain. And she had doubts. Why do you think, and this is just a thought that just came into my head, why do you think that people dehumanize my Clementine? Why wasn't she human enough for people to help me mourn? Why wasn't she human enough for people to talk about?
Because she's hidden. Because she can't be seen. We aren't to the point yet where the majority of folks would find themselves a pitchfork to insist that it is legal to kill a naughty toddler or a toddler who causes inconvenience or a toddler who thwarts somebody's plans. We're not there yet. And the reason is we can see that it's a human being. Gotta tell you, this is why ultrasound's so important. When you see the baby, 80% of the time, mommies choose life because it's clear, it is obvious. It would be a good time to point you in the direction of preborn ministries. They're giving away ultrasounds. They aren't free. They are to the client, but it takes something to provide them. It's $28 per ultrasound. I encourage you to consider how many could you support. 80% of the time, a mommy sees the baby in her womb. She chooses life. Preborn. www.dontesteyourself.org/wretched to support their efforts to save babies and mommies because they preach the gospel. I think there's another reason why people are willing to feel no pity or sympathy or shame about abortion. It is because we're dealing with darkened minds and darkened hearts. They want that thing to be nothing but a blob of tissue because they want to live in a way that they choose for themselves. And let's be honest, a baby can kind of put the brakes on that, can it? Which is why I think increasingly and regularly, starting in the pulpits, celebrating babies, celebrating children, celebrating marriage, the world is sending a different signal. We need to counter it by shouting from the rooftops that marriage is excellent and having babies, oh, it's the bomb diggity.
My mother was given birth too prematurely at 5 months. My daughter was 5 months.
Yep.
I didn't get to say goodbye to my daughter. I didn't know about the abortion until after it happened. I begged her not to do the appointment. She told me that she canceled it. Mm. My daughter was 5 months. And she was ripped apart. My daughter doesn't get a funeral. My daughter doesn't get respect. As my friend asked, yeah, medical testing on a healthy baby. Why? My girlfriend didn't pay for the abortion. The clinic did. Mm. How much money did they make off of my daughter's body? How many other babies did the doctor kill since she's been dead? This has been a month and 3 days. This happened March 12th and 13th.
By the way, you can't see the video, of course, but standing right behind this fellow is a woman who's queuing up to the microphone at this Students for Life event. She's weeping, as we all should.
My daughter was conceived October 25th. She was supposed to be born July 20th. My daughter was a person. My daughter is an angel. And I pray for her every single day. I talk to her. I still feel like she's there. I feel like on July 20th, my daughter's going to be there.
This is a man, obviously, who could use some theology, but it reveals the heart of brokenness.
Well, she had a heartbeat. Wasn't she a person? And I'm being told she's a fetus.
Well, it's not a heartbeat that makes it a human. It's the fact that it's a human. It's not an arbitrary marker like heartbeat or brain waves or feeling pain. It is at conception. It is a growing thing. It is a life. And always, 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 when a human sperm meets a human egg, there has never been an instance where a dolphin was born. It's a human being. A small one, but a human being nonetheless.
Which, by the way, everybody, that's Latin for offspring. Okay? So I don't know why we're speaking Latin. I speak English. And my daughter not only matters, but I do not want my daughter to be forgotten. I want my daughter's story to be talked about. I want her to be remembered. She wasn't just a fetus. And yeah, maybe she was just a 10%. Maybe. But she was a lot more than that for me. For 5 months, I'm told by my friends, I'm crying over somebody I never met before. I'm told by people, well, she wasn't even a person. She was just a fetus. She wasn't even a baby. She wasn't fully developed. My daughter was still growing, and my relationship with my daughter was going to grow for the rest of our lives. Mm. Why isn't my daughter human enough for people to care? Why isn't my daughter woman enough for her to have a body and for her to have a choice? Mm. My daughter was going to be beautiful, but now I don't know where she is.
I do. Safely in the arms of Jesus.
I'm just so confused. I get it. I'm just a man. You know what I mean? But men, we're not supposed to have feelings. As a father, because I'm still a father. As a father, I'm just supposed to forget. I'm just supposed to move on. And I'm confused. So my question really isn't for you because you understand. My question is really for society. Why doesn't my daughter matter? Why wasn't she enough? Why didn't she get a chance to live? And ultimately, no, I'm not blaming my ex. She had doubt and she regrets it. Ultimately, this is our government's fault.
It's a lot of wickedness that consorts together. But when you have a government that funds the taking of an innocent human being,
you've stopped evil laws in the past in America, in Germany. And you guys know what I'm talking about. We came together and we stopped evil laws.
That's right.
This is an evil law that killed my daughter. Her mother did not kill her. Again, doctors like this man right here, you're not to blame. Thank you for doing what you're doing. And thank you for speaking up, because this is important.
He's a former abortionist.
And not enough men care enough to speak up. So thank you. I hugged this man today. I don't know who did this to my daughter. I wish I could ask him, was my daughter beautiful? That's all I want to know. What did her face look like? My daughter matters. And I really hope that everybody remembers Clementine. And I hope you think about Clementine as much as I do. She is loved and she is not forgotten. And I hope that everybody can keep her memory alive too. Thank you.
One dead, two wounded. Thanks to the government that says, yeah, that's just a blob and we have every right to do with it as we see fit as long as it makes us happy. Well, guess what? It never does. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.